Welcome to Flavors Under the Big Sky, celebrating the bounty of the region. I'm Stella Fong. In this show, we meet up in Columbus with J.T. Vikel Robinson, CEO and founder of the Bearded Viking Mead Company. We exit Highway 90, skirt town, cross the railroad tracks to navigate over the Yellowstone River to then come upon a Quonset hut right after the bend of the road. Here, an ancient form of wine made with honey instead of grapes is being produced. So how did the name Bearded Viking Mead Company come about?
So it was actually a joke. The name Bearded Viking actually came about, I don't know, probably 10 years ago. I was the Utah Bearded Viking. I started with my dreadlocks and my beard after I got out of the military, and everybody would call me basically a Bearded Viking in Salt Lake. So I made an Instagram handle called Utah Bearded Viking. And it ended up being kind of a big thing over time. So when I named the company, it was just fitting because it was the Bearded Vikings Mead Company.
And Vico, that bearded Viking, recruited the help of many of his friends he had crossed paths with in his past. Coincidentally, each sport, the hair and facial hair, befitting of the company's name.
Most of us are all veterans and we don't want to shave anymore.
Not wanting to shave anymore may have played into the creation of the name, but perhaps Vico's cultural heritage inspired his wanting to make an ancient drink.
I am like 43% Danish, and then there's a ton of other mixes between Ireland and Iceland, and I think I have a little bit of Swedish in me too.
His cultural heritage may have inspired his want to make mead, but it was his military training that gave him the discipline and tactic in creating his company.
I was stationed at Camp Pendleton, San Diego. I spent 8 years in the Marine Corps and 6 years in the Army. I was LAV crewman, and I was on the backside. I think it's Las Pulgas is the camp I was stuck at forever. But I spent 8 years in the Corps doing LAV crewman stuff, and then 6 years in our Utah Army National Guard doing route clearance overseas.
From California to Iraq to Afghanistan to Utah, how did Robertson end up in Big Sky Country?
Divine intervention. Basically, my girlfriend and I drove up 6 years ago to, I guess it's 5 years ago during the pandemic, to Glacier National Park. I took my kids up there, decided we wanted to move away from all the people because Utah's crazy busy these days. Found a piece of property we were going to look at over there. It didn't work out. Came over this way, like Labor Day weekend, and drove all the way to Wolf Point. Looked at a property up there. It's not a good place to be if you're a young couple, basically. And then came back through here. She found a property. As we were driving past the exit, I missed the exit, and she told me to turn the truck around. She put her foot down, so we turned around. Went up and looked at this giant house, beautiful home. Just a little bit outside of what I was willing to spend on a home. It was on 60 acres.
On this day, when all seemed not to be quite right and not moving on the right track, life was going to take a turn. As Robinson and his girlfriend were walking back to their truck to leave,
a retired Army chaplain came driving down, saw my Marine Corps plates, stopped, asked me about what we were doing, and he told me he'd sell me his house on 20 acres for a deal I couldn't refuse, so handshake agreement on the side of the road in Montana. I don't really know if there's more divine intervention than that.
Now settled under the Big Sky, Robinson started his business just outside downtown Columbus.
The best way to think about it is if you're headed to Red Lodge through Columbus, you come up, you stay on Montana Highway 78, you come across the bridge, you'll make a bend, and we're right on the bend. You can't miss us. It's a big giant building, looks like a Quonset hut, and then, or a Viking Great Hall, and the big square building next to that with a huge outdoor seating area, and that's where our tasting room is.
The hours for visiting the Bearded Viking Mead Company will change with the season, so check on beardedviking.com before planning a visit.
We've kind of taken this weird change and whatnot. We're open Monday through Thursday from 11 to 5 for tastings during the day, and then Fridays and Saturdays were typically open from 4 to 9 for tastings after hours, and that's usually when the fire pits are going and people are hanging out.
The logo for the Bearded Viking Mead Company is the face of a man with a long beard and bushy mustache. Half of the face is a skull, while the other is a man wearing a mohawk with long hair on the sides.
I asked my art director to draw a picture of a Viking that was half skull, half regular face, and he's like, send me a picture of your face. And I said, oh, okay. So I did, and he hand drew it.
So what is the beverage that the Bearded Viking Mead Company makes for what Robinson calls a meetup with the purpose of bringing people together?
Mead is the oldest alcohol in the world. It's fermented honey. So the base concept of meat is honey, water, and yeast. And all you do is you take the three ingredients, you combine them together and shake it like it owes you money, and then put it in your closet and then wait for 6 months. And then at some point, it will become alcohol.
So how did Robertson first start making this beverage that brings together honey, water, and yeast?
I learned how to make mead because I had just harvested 100 pounds of honey from my own beehives at the time that I had. And I was watching a show called The 13th Warrior with Antonio Banderas while I was working at 5 o'clock in the morning for my old job. And there's a line where he says, I can't drink anything that's fermented hops and barley or fruit of the vine. And his counterpart is like, it's honey. It's made from honey. So I canceled all my meetings and I went to YouTube University, and that's where I started.
With knowledge gained from attending YouTube University, his making mead first began as a hobby and quickly evolved.
Next thing you know, I've got like 15 vats of 5-gallon jugs, basically, of different flavors that I'm working and experimenting on. And my girlfriend was very kind because it was in our kitchen and she didn't kill me. So that's nice. My goal was to eventually expand into this. Yeah.
The key ingredient, honey, that Robinson uses to make his mead comes from an apiary located literally down the street from the Bearded Viking Mead Company.
Everything we have as far as the honey comes from our local honey here, Sunshine Apiary. We've purchased tons of honey from them. I think I've probably purchased 12 or 13 tons of honey since we opened.
Sunshine Apiary, owned by Lance and Patty Sundberg, has been in operation for over 40 years. The business grew from Lance's childhood hobby of beekeeping. For the Bearded Viking Mead Company, the sugars for the mead now need to be converted to alcohol to make the spirited beverage.
As far as yeast, you know, there's definitely a special yeast that I use that's proprietary. I don't give away those secrets there, but yeah, definitely yeast is only a piece of it. The process to making the mead is also a piece. Most people in the industry of making mead do what we call back sweetening. So they'll make their mead and then they add honey at the end and swirl it together so makes it extra sweet. We don't do that. We make a drink that you can drink whether you're on the river or you're waking up for breakfast. You know, you're having a breakfast mead. Or as they would say, breakfast beer. But we make a mead that is definitely sweeter than other alcohols because it's made from honey.
With a high sugar level in honey being converted over to alcohol, the mead can hold a high ABV, or alcohol by volume.
Our ABVs are between 12.5% and 16% ABV. So you're looking at similar to table wine, except for it doesn't taste terrible because it's not made with grapes.
The Bearded Viking Mead Company makes mead carrying the names of OG, Viking's Blood, Tyr, Lochner, and Healy. Each name has a story or significance and distinct flavors.
Outside the OG, everything else is Norse. So they're all based off of Norse mythology or the Norse language. So we have everything ranging from vanilla bean coffee to jalapeno raspberry, or, you know, our latest ones, which are mint chocolate chip, pumpkin spice, and raspberry lemonade. So all of those things are made with fruit. That's it. It's all organic. Our peach mead tastes like you're just biting into a fresh, deliciously ripe peach. Our huckleberry tastes like huckleberries. The Blood Eagle, which is our choke cherry, very tart on the very front end. And then you have the vanilla bean on the back end that smooths and mellows everything out.
The mead, made organically with local honey, also honors the flavors of the season.
We're coming into the winter, and the best things to do that with are our pumpkin spice, which is a lot of people are like, ooh, I don't like pumpkin or whatnot. It's the spices in pumpkin pie, so that we're all aware. That is the idea behind pumpkin spice. So we have our pumpkin spice, which is really good hot, our apple pie, which is really good hot, our coffee mead, which is really good hot, and our mint chocolate chip, which is good hot.
The mead with the name OG is the company's original drink. If you are a kid from the 70s and 80s, this is a tribute to you, semi-sweet and full of excitement.
I call it OG because I was an original gangster from the 1980s. That's my mindset. It's a joke. It tastes like a light honey flavor from front to back with floral notes on the back end.
While OG carries pretty notes and flavors, Healy is one for the pepperheads. This mead is made with ingredients you might not normally bring together, but drinks refreshingly well.
Our jalapeno raspberry mead smells like fresh cut jalapenos. You think it's going to be spicy, but you drink it. It's the flavor of jalapeno, honey in the middle, and raspberry wash on the back end. Healy is actually Norse for grace. So one of my best friends, he's a devout Christian. I'm a practicing Norse pagan. I follow Odin. He follows Jesus. Jalapenos and raspberries don't necessarily go together. Neither do those two things. And so I offered him the opportunity to name one of the meads, and he named it Healy. And it turned out amazing, just like our friendship.
A Valkyrie is a supernatural female warrior from Norse mythology who serves the god Odin by selecting the bravest fallen warriors in battle and guiding their souls to Valhalla, the great hall of the slain. Bearded Viking Mead Company makes a mead named Valkyrie that brings together a citrus fruit and a berry.
Our blueberry lemon is blueberry on the front end. Allspice cut in the middle, it just makes it taste kind of like a blueberry pie with a lemon zest on the back end.
Another popular mead is one that is made with a summer Montana berry.
Lochner is Norse for healer. My best friend, his name is Ryan Sim. We went to Iraq together during the invasion. He was a corpsman, and huckleberries were used by the Native Americans to help heal, so he named it healer.
Lochner takes on a beautiful floral color, not the expected deep purple extraction from an entire huckleberry.
Our huckleberry just is more of a pink. It's like a dark pink. It's actually what color you get when you squish a huckleberry in your hand. Like the juices are pink. But then you add the yellow from the honey and that's how what happens.
Finally, the meads Tyr, Ugali, and Fjord also carry distinct flavors, colors, and stories.
So like Tyr, which is our purple mead, it's a bright purple, it's pear, cinnamon, and clove, is actually a tribute to the Norse god Tyr, who is the god of justice and friendship. And so Utagli is Norse for outlaw. It's an apple pie mead, so it's like a tribute to the moonshiners and bootleggers of the world. Fjord, which is the peach one, that's Norse for father. The gentleman who created the logo, he's a single dad, and that's the most important thing in his life, so he named it Fjord.
From the names and stories behind each mead, it is obvious that many people were involved in the company's creation. Robertson, or Vico, brought together his band of brothers. Along with the support and his training on YouTube University, he added additional forces to ensure a win for his business.
During building this building, I got my master's degree in business administration so that way I could actually formulate everything else. So my business plan was peer reviewed by people from Fortune 500 companies, CEOs and COOs from those companies to see if this was good. And that's what was actually my capstone for my master's program. And then I utilized all of that to start understanding like the chemistry and how things worked while I was going through those pieces. So I have precise formulas that are measured to the gram for everything. So every single time you pick up a bottle of our mead, you pour yourself a glass, it tastes the exact same way as it did the last time.
The exactness, along with attention to detail, as well as planning to teamwork, sprinkled with bravery, come from Robinson's past.
I was a cybersecurity project manager for 10 years. So I just understand business process. And you need to have somebody who takes ownership. Most businesses fail because they think somebody can do it themselves the whole time. You have people who are really good at being electricians, but they're not good at being business owners because you have to go do the business. You can't just be an electrician. You know what I mean? So I built it out to have a structure that we could scale to. So the hardest part about scalability is identifying where people fall in line. And we've already had a ton of movement inside of our organization. And a lot of this, the things you see on the website are going to be changing here soon anyways. We're having a realignment because we actually need more people on ground, and those other people are going to end up taking on different roles and different processes. So
currently in Columbus, the different roles and processes for running the Bearded Viking Mead Company are carried out by a small team.
Here locally, there's my apprentice and then the VP of sales and myself. That's it. The rest of the team is scattered throughout, mostly in Utah, because that's where I'm originally from.
These days, Robertson has the confidence to let his team do their work.
I used to run the tasting room. I used to be here every weekend, but now I work 60 hours a week and I'm good not being here on the weekends. A lot of people ask, like, why aren't you here on the weekends? It's because I have a life and I want to live my life. So I've got a great crew here. We've got Shelby, and he actually runs outside when we're open. And then a gal named Maddie right now who runs the front. She does all the pours and tastings.
On each bottle of mead, there are tasting notes. For example, Valkyrie, made with blueberries and lemon, has the following description. Blueberry across the front of the tongue, allspice in the middle, and a light lemon zest on the back end. How did Robertson come up with his descriptions?
everybody asked me if I was a sommelier or if I'm a sommelier, and I'm like, no, I'm not. I just know what it tastes like when I drink it. And if it tastes like that to me, I'm sure that you'll have a similar experience. And some people don't have the experience. Some people have the experience like the jalapeno raspberry where they don't taste any jalapeno and they only taste raspberry, or they'll taste only jalapeno and no raspberry. And I'm cool. That's a small population, but yeah, we have 16 flavors. So you're going to, of course, have a variation for those flavors.
So with those flavors, what foods go well with them?
The jalapeno raspberry is obviously good on Taco Tuesday. Or wild berry chili pepper is really, really good if you inject it into pork and smoke a pork. Or if you want to use apple pie, like, is really good with ribs. I like the blueberry lemon with steak because it's delicious. Coffee mead goes good with any email or anything from work. And like our Viking's blood, which is our cherry orange cinnamon hibiscus, that goes pretty good with any dessert or by a fire.
From composing emails to sitting by a fire, mead appears to have a place for everyone, everywhere. Vico points out another attribute of mead.
Technically, all mead should be gluten-free if it's classified as mead, because there is no hops or barley, there's no wheat, there's nothing else like that. Also, most meads are super low in sulfites. So wine has a high sulfite content in it, because of the extra added sugars that put into it, and because of the grapes. The grapes are extremely high in sulfites. That's what causes your wine hangover. And then with the mead, it's all naturally processed sugar. It's all natural from the bees and everything else.
Our Ratty Bearded Viking Mead Company is selling in over 5 dozen outlets in Montana, from grocery stores to gas stations. So how much does it cost to buy a bottle of Vico's mead?
Our typical price range, we have 2 size bottles now. So we have our grab and goes, which are the minis, which are going to be in every gas station in Montana before the end of the year. They're between $14.50 all the way up to $16.50, depending on what it is. You're getting 12 ounces of alcohol, that's 16%, for about $5 for 4 ounces, which is extremely priced there. For our regular meads, they range anywhere from $25 to $46, depending on what it is. A lot of people want to look at it and be like, oh man, that's kind of higher priced and whatnot. It is, absolutely. Honey's not cheap. And the product itself isn't a cheap product. Now, if you want a cheap product, there's other mead companies you can go buy from.
Robertson now takes us on a tour of his facility, a Quonset hut located at the bend of the road right after the Yellowstone River.
Right now we're in our tasting room. So the tasting room basically is set up so we can pour drinks here and you guys can stay inside here and sit down. There's only enough room for 4 or 5 people in here. It's not very big. We do sell bottles out of here. We're walking right now into the original fermentation area. The original fermentation area here is only like 450 square feet. It's very small. That's where we started. Unfortunately, didn't hold up very long. Well, I mean, I guess it is fortunate. So we used to have a total of 8 vats of mead here. Those 8 vats of mead basically were utilized for constant fermentation. We were constantly busy. There was a lot of things that were going on in this room at any given time. Where we're walking to next, this used to be our back deck. We had to enclose everything around here. So we're now standing on the back deck, which is where the employee entrance was. And now we're headed down the hallway. So this is our hallway, which is basically our breezeway, where we keep all of our fermentation items, such as our yeast and our yeast nutrient. On the right here, we actually have all of our mini bottles that we have that are currently bottled. And now we're in the new facility, which is an additional 2,400 square feet, which doesn't feel like it's very big at this point. As you look around here, you can see we've got water faucets that come out of the walls because we do have water that's coming through that we use, and it's hot water. It's part of the process. We have our sink, basically our prep area kitchen for boiling and cooking everything that we do. And then we have our bottling line over here, which is movable. But like I said, we're kind of out of space for everything. So
even with the fast pace of production, Robertson seems to keep everything orderly and under control. In the high-ceiling, bright production area, box product is neatly stacked up, with many large carboys of brewing mead lined up against the wall. Unlike fermentation rooms for beer or wine, where temperatures usually hover around 55 to 60 degrees,
the mead can't get above 120 degrees because it'll kill yeast, and it can't drop below 65 degrees because it will kill yeast. So we keep everything in here. Typically, we keep it around 75, 73 degrees.
At around 75 degrees, his production climate is comfortable. And in this comfortable place, Robertson hesitantly revealed that he has abbreviated his production time.
So in order for a regular mead to taste good outside of my process that I invented, it takes about 6 months. And it takes us 6 weeks. There's a whole process to it. Most people ferment with fruit inside their mead, and other people add extra sugar, everything else. I just literally invented my own process. So our mead actually goes to market and tastes better than people's mead that's been sitting and fermenting or aging for a year.
So what is Bearded Viking Mead Company's production level?
Right now, we can ferment 2,600 mini bottles per vat per month. And if we really wanted to up production, we could probably hit somewhere around 40,000 bottles a month.
Although the current portfolio is 16 different flavors of mead, Robertson continues to create new spirited concoctions.
So this is our vat. We use food safe vats that are plastic. We ferment in 1,000 liters at a time. Basically, in this one right here, we actually have our watermelon mead, which hasn't been released to the public yet. We're waiting on federal approval for everything. But yeah, our watermelon mead is where we're at. So
I wanted to taste that where they were at with the meads made by Bearded Viking Mead Company. General Manager Ken Siebert and I sat down in my kitchen and sampled three of the meads. We started with Lackner.
Definite huckleberry.
Definite huckleberry. Yeah, it has a pink rose color.
It does.
Not your normal purple.
I hesitate to say it, but there's almost like a note of Kool-Aid in it.
I can smell that. Like you've just opened the packet and the powder is now popped into your nose.
Cherry Kool-Aid type.
Right. So it's got that berry, cherry berry, and it's huckleberry.
And you do notice a little bit of the... bit of the viscosity on the wall of the glass.
And there's a wall because that's alcohol that's creeping up also. So this one has 15.8% alcohol. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. Let's take a sip. Whoa. It's a little Kool-Aid-y, but in a good way.
I like the mouthfeel. It has a viscosity in the mouth. There, you definitely feel it.
Right, but then it also, again, thins out.
It does.
It vaporizes.
There is a bit of a bite to it.
It's a good bite, though.
It is a good bite. It definitely is different.
This would be good with something like pork or something like that, like roast pork. Chicken, you know. Okay, so it could be paired. It does have some sweetness to it.
I think when you roast pork, definitely.
Yeah, it's good. I like it. I mean, it's very drinkable.
Yeah, you get the huckleberry, but it does also have a distinct cherry kind of flavor out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I like the mouthfeel of it, that and it's exactly what you said. There's a viscosity to it, a thickness a little bit up front, but then that completely mellows out toward the back of
your... Right, like the middle of the tongue. Yeah, it does. All right, I think this one is a winner. He drinks it all.
The next mead we are tasting is Valkyrie, a blueberry lemon mead, and this is the owner's favorite because it pairs well with steak.
Now this definitely has a honey color to it.
Yeah, it does. It has a little bit more of the brown edges. You know, it's not like the golden honey color, but...
This has a much more refined smell.
Ooh.
I'm not getting much in the way of blueberry at all. I am getting a little lemon.
Getting a little lemon.
I'm also getting just a tiny little bit of like, almost like straw.
Mm-hmm. Grass kind of thing. Yep. Okay.
Okay.
There's definitely honey in this.
Yes.
Wow.
The blueberry is almost, it's right on the back. You get the blueberry. The lemon is up front. I like this one a lot. This is tasty.
This is really different. I expected this to almost taste like a lemon bar with blueberries in
it. And it does not. No.
But it's very sophisticated.
It's dry.
It's dry. I always feel like there's some savory notes. Again, this would go really
Much less of the syrupy type thing that you would get off the... I was almost expecting almost like a syrup, cough syrupy type.
Yeah, me too.
But
me
no,
too.
This is no. really...
Yeah, it has almost a savory grounding, and I can see why he thinks that this goes really well with steak.
Yes, very good chilled.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I can see this with some roasted asparagus, too.
Yeah, it could. You could add bourbon to this, too.
You could add bourbon to this very, very easily and make a very interesting cocktail.
Yeah. little. I like this.
I like this a lot.
And the lemon is more almost like it's, oh, what? How do I describe it? It's like when salted lemon is salted and it almost shrivels up a little bit or it gets infused.
Yeah.
So it's not like lemon picked off the tree like lemonade.
Now, we're drinking it chilled.
Mm-hmm.
But I could see this much more chilled, nearly iced.
Yes.
I could also see this with an ice cube in it. I could see it on
yes,
the rocks.
Yes, it would hold really well.
I think you could do this even in a splash of club soda for a nice, like an aperitif. Yeah. It has an aperitif flavor to it. Ooh, what about gin?
Yeah, gin could go with this.
The final mead that we are tasting is Healy, made with raspberries and jalapenos.
This is very similar in color to the blueberry lemon. There's a little bit of cloud in it. It's not quite as clear as the blueberry lemon.
But it's not as brown. It doesn't have as much amber notes in this color.
Much sharper smell. You really get the jalapeno.
Oh, the jalapeno goes
It's coming through.
Straight.
And it's jalapeno raspberry. Oh, I do get a bit of the raspberry in there too.
It's underneath. You almost have to move aside that jalapeno streak that comes in.
You know how they
notes.
Serve the jalapeno poppers with the raspberry dipping sauce?
Yes.
Like the raspberry chipotle dip. That's what this is. Still a little earthy, kind of the straw.
Yeah, it's got that grassy straw.
I like that too. The raspberry comes on. You get much more of the smell of the jalapeno, but you get much more of the taste of the raspberry.
You do.
It's almost like it fools you a little bit. You go into it thinking you're getting one thing, and you get another on the front of the tongue.
Yeah. And I like the jalapeno because it comes in and it just warms the back of your mouth. So the green pepper is there, but I like the feel of this with the jalapenos.
Do you think you could develop a glaze like this for a pork or a chicken using a bit of this?
You could. I'm wondering if you could, how well this would like reduce, you know, if you add little sugar or more honey, I guess, and then let it kind of boil down.
Overall, Ken and I found the meads flavorful and distinct in flavors.
I think going in with the huckleberry is a little bit more in your face. I think the other two have a level of sophistication that I really was not expecting.
Mm-hmm.
I think the blueberry lemon is my favorite.
Yeah, it really is. It's kind of elegant, actually.
It's
rustic,
elegant. Yes,
it's rustically elegant.
And I think that it's, I don't want to say like, you know, for effect or gimmicky, but when you start talking about jalapeno raspberry and huckleberry, but with the blueberry lemon, I think that this is probably more to the intent of mead itself.
Yes.
It's mead forward and the flavors that are in there are adding to, but whereas I think with the huckleberry and the jalapeno raspberry, they're more flavor forward.
Yes,
and
they are. But good flavor forward that doesn't taste like fake huckleberry.
That's true.
Or
very natural.
Chemically produced jalapeno. And the raspberry is, I think, true to the fruit itself.
Before I end at this flavors, JT Vikel Robinson encourages visitors.
Just come on out to the Bearded Viking. Come out and sample it. It's a completely different experience. It's not beer. It's not wine. It's classified as wine. It drinks different. I coined the term, it's time for a meetup. M-E-A-D, meetup. Grab a bottle of mead and take it out to the fire with your friends. Or go float the river with your friends. Spend time with people that matter.
I wish J.T. Vikel Robinson of Bearded Viking Mead Company sweet success. Thanks to Ken Seabird for his tasting expertise. Music for Flavors Under the Big Sky has been created by Parker Brown. I thank you, listeners, for your continual support. I'm Stella Fong.